Good morning, everybody.
Good.
Happy New Year to you.
Praise the Lord. Happy New Year.
Looking forward to a new year with the Lord.
Yes.
And I do thank you for being with us. I thank you for all the cards and the prayers and the phone calls, all those things that you've done on Francis and my behalf. I'm glad I'm not on the dot. Well, as good as if you've been good. So. And we do thank you for them so very much. I don't know how in the world the people that don't have a church family
right.
make it in the world we live in today.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing how much comfort there is in knowing that you have support of your church families, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know they're praying for you. And you get a card, you get a phone call, you get a text, and just let them know that, and you know, the Lord knows how to do things. Because many times that note or that card or that phone call comes at exactly the time you need it.
Absolutely.
He's an on-time God. Ain't no question about that. I'm just thankful that I know him in saving grace. And I know that he is my comfort and he is my shield. And he will take care of me until he gets me home. And looking to that day when we'll all be together. And again, I do say thank you for all your thoughts and prayers. Bow with us in just a word of prayer, and then we'll continue to look at some scriptures together. Lord, again today, we do thank you. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful you are. How kind and how gracious and how loving and how caring. And Lord, we're so thankful that you promised in your precious word that I ever believe you never forsake you. You're always there, you're always present, you always know the situation. And we find ourselves in every moment of every day. Wonderful thing is that you're walking with us. Lord, I thank you for that promise. Lord, I thank you for your precious word. And I thank you for your precious son. And I thank you, Christ, for what you've done. And Lord, today as we open your precious word and we look again at a period of time when you chose to birth your son and magnify yourself in human flesh, so we'll look at another part of that period of time. And in that, we can see the miraculous work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Walk us through these scriptures now and help us to understand them. Thank you again for all the blessings of life for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for a place to come and worship together in fellowship. Bless now as only you can. Take charge not only on this time, but the service that's coming after. Lord, bless as only you can. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray with humble hearts. Amen. Matthew, second chapter. All right. We're still in the Christmas story.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, Christmas is over. The birth's over. Christmas is not over. Because today's Christmas and tomorrow's Christmas. The next day's Christmas because that's the birth of our Savior.
Amen.
It's never over if you know him. But that's what we're going to be looking at today, even back in this time. This occurred after Christmas. And this occurred a good while after Christmas. I want us to look at something. Now, believe it or not, willing, and I have an opportunity to be back with you next Sunday, we're going to use these same scriptures again. We'll look at it in a different perspective. It's amazing how God's Word is, what you can see in it. And I was talking about the cards and stuff that y'all been so gracious to send us and things to do for us over the holiday. I got a card, and I was looking at the card, and a lot of times when I get Francis on of a night, and I'll just lie there and study. And I open my Bible up to these scriptures what we're going to be using today. And I read a couple of verses, and one word says, doop. And that word came out, and when that word came out, then my mind went back to a card that we got for Christmas. And writing on that card. And there's another tremendous message in these same scriptures that we'll look at, but we're going to look at it in a different view. But let's look at it this morning and as we look at the birth of Christ. Matthew 2nd chapter number 1. To those listening on the internet or whatever you might be, way you might be listening, thank you so much for joining us today. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, many of you have heard this time after time after time, but we're going to detail it a good little bit this morning, Lord willing. So I need to put things in perspective, and I'm trying to figure out which way I wanted to do this morning. So let's just look at the cross a minute. Now, if we stand and we look at the cross, and we're talking about directions, if you look at the cross, and the top of the cross is pointing up, so let's say that's north, okay? All right, now, we know that south would be at the bottom. Right? Okay. Now, where is east and where is west? Well, we know east is going to be on our right, okay? And west is going to be on our left. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we continue to look at this thing. Now, look at the next verse. Well, this verse we've just read again. And it says, and wise men came from the what? The east. Okay? Now, what does that mean? That means it had to come from this side, right? Okay? Now, if you were looking at a map of the nation of Israel, tell me what's on the left side of Israel. Do what? Mediterranean Sea. Now, if keep that thought in mind. Now let's look at the second verse. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star. We've seen something. What did we see? They say his star. Now this is something different than they've ever seen before. And something is corresponding in this. Because the magi, the wise men, know that this star is related to this one that's going to be born king of the Jews. That's tied. Somewhere in the process, the Holy Spirit has enlightened them about this star is tied to this baby, to this child. So now they're going to begin their journey, but where did they see the star? They saw the star in the east. Now, if those wise men, if that star that we read about there was over Bethlehem, they wouldn't have needed camels, they'd needed boats. Because you'd have been where? If you were looking at the center of that cross, and there's a star over the center of that cross, and you're out somewhere and you see that star, and that star is in the east, you got to be out there on the Mediterranean Sea if it's over Bethlehem. They saw that star over where they were from. That star was not over Bethlehem when they saw it. Now, another important thing is that I want to pay attention to this star and what it does as we continue. Now, they say we have come to worship him who is King of the Jews. Well, he is King of kings, but he's also Lord of lords. He is the nation of Israel's king. He is our king, but he is also our Lord, and he is the one and only Lord. He's the one and only king, number one king of all creation. He is the number one Lord of all creation. Okay? Now, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And are come to do what? To worship him. So they've seen the star, and because of that star, they've come for one specific reason. And what is that? To worship him. Why are you here this morning? Why didn't you do like a lot of people this morning? Why did you get up this morning with church on your mind, and Sunday school on your mind, and worship on your mind, and your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's not a natural man thing. That's something that's been implanted you, into you, by the precious Holy Spirit that took up residence in your heart and in my heart when we were saved by the marvelous grace of God. And that is the thing that draws us to him. If it were not for the Holy Spirit this morning, I bet you there wouldn't be one of us here today. In fact, I don't have to bet you. I know. We'd be just like the rest of the world is out there. The things of the world would be much more important than this. But here, something has drawn them to this point. And the thing that's drawn them to this point is the thing that they saw in the east. I don't know what corresponded. I wish I could know what corresponded in the east. Because there's totally something different about that star, that light that they've seen. We call it a star. What does Christ say? He says, I am the what of the world. I'm the light of the world. And nobody comes to the Father what? But by him. And what corresponded with those wise men? It would be amazing if we knew the whole story. But what they're doing is that they're being drawn. That star is bringing them to the point. So as they move, it moves. They are following it. And it's brought them to the point now that they're looking for Christ, and they want to find him so that they might worship him. Now, here's somebody we run into in the process of life. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, Christ has troubled the devil forever. We got a good example of the devil here with Herod. What's the situation? There's another word or two, a phrase or two in these verses I want to pay close attention to also. Now, he says, had heard those things, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So now there's got to be a period of time in here for the message to get out. Now, they don't have the cell phone and internet back then. But it says all Jerusalem heard this, and they're troubled about it too. So we've got to have a span of time in here, and I have no idea how long. So let's keep going now. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, and this is Herod, he's gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You see anything unusual in that last phrase? Think about now, I've said that the wise men came and said, we're looking for him who's king of the Jews. I said there's a period of time now that's going to be in here because all of a sudden the old Jerusalem and everybody's all bent out of shape because of it. But now when Herod makes his statement to the scribes and to the Pharisees, to those who are supposed to know the scriptures and write the scriptures, he says, I want to know something about who? Christ. How did he know that was Christ? The devil knows who Christ is. It's a good example of the devil. He knows who Christ is and what Christ, I don't want to say duties are, but he's here for duties to save those that are lost. And Herod said, I'm concerned about him. The devil's always concerned about Christ. He said, I want to know where Christ should be born. So he's already tied the king of the Jews and Christ. He's already tied that together. And they said unto him in Bethlehem, so they know the scriptures, in Bethlehem of Judea, well, thus it is written by the prophets. So it's recorded. And what's written? And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And that's the thing that tore Herod all to pieces. The devil's still trying to take Christ's place and rule the world anyway. So now what's Herod going to do? He's going to see what he can figure out in this and what he can do to stop all this. Because I'm king. I'm king. And I'm going to get rid of whoever's coming along that might take my place. And if this child that's born in Bethlehem is going to threaten my kingdom, I'll take care of him too. So what does he do? And it says, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. After Sunday school is over today, we'll go into worship service and Lord willing, we'll have a church full, hope so. We'll have our church service. And we hope in the process that the Holy Spirit does a work. But now, you can be sitting right beside somebody. And the Holy Spirit can be just eating them alive. And you might not know one thing about it. We can't see the Holy Spirit with our physical eye. We see the results of what the Holy Spirit does. If the scribes and the Pharisees and Herod and all those others that met with him when he called them together, if they could have seen the star, they wouldn't have been asking any, they wouldn't have been inquiring of the wise men. They'd have just gone out and looked for that star. And they said, where the star is at, where he's at. I don't believe a single solitary one of them saw it. I think the only thing that saw the star was the Magi, the wise men. And they followed it from the east, and they followed it to Bethlehem. But the thing that we see here now, when they got there, and they met with Herod, there's a period of time now that they don't see the star. They're in there messing around with Herod and his bunch. That can get you in trouble. But now look at what takes place when, look at what takes place when they're going to depart. Now I want you to notice in verse number 7, then when Herod had called them privately together, He inquired of them diligently. I want to pin this down. I want to nail this down to as close to period of time as I possibly can. And what was he trying to pin down? What did he ask them? When did this star appear? Now, what does that tell him? That tells him the time that Christ was born. So now he's got a timetable. He's got a schedule that he's put, either he recorded or put in the back of his mind. But he's put that date in his mind. He said, I need to remember that date. Then he goes on and says to the wise men in verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem. He sent them. And he says, and you go and you search diligently, and here we are. For who? For the young child. Now, that's one about 10 times that's going to be called young child. This is that we're not talking about a few days after the birth of Christ. We're not talking about the day of the birth of Christ. We're talking about a good period of time, somewhere under 2 years from the birth of Christ. He is a young child. And he says, you go and you find him. And then he says, when you found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. Now, you think that was the intent of Herod? The intent of Herod, the same intent that the devil had. If he could kill Christ right now, he would do that at this very moment. But he has not that ability, and we know that, and thank the Lord he don't have that. And the same thing, Herod, he reminded me of the devil the most in this I've ever seen. No, he paints a pretty picture, but that's not what he wants to do. So he says, you go find him and then let me know. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, what happened? The star, which they saw in the east. Notice the phrase that's put there. And where did it go? Where was its position in their position? All of a sudden, they come out from Herod. All of a sudden, there's the star again. And all of a sudden, the star is before them. The star is in the leadership of them. Just like the Holy Spirit that leads us to Christ. This star is a good representation of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the thing that does the leading in our life. But now, I want you to look. It says, the star they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. That's the second time we've talked about a young child. That's number 2. So what is this star doing? They saw a star in the east. They've come west. Here's the star in the west. So what has that star done? That star has done just like it's doing here. It says that when they came back out, the star did what? It went before them. It moved. And it moved and it came and it stood over the house where the young child was. So what is it pointing them to? What is it bringing them to? It's bringing them to Christ and where he is. I would have never known who Christ is. I would never have been drawn to Christ unless the Holy Spirit had shown me Christ and drawn me to Christ and then shown me the need to worship him. So it moves, and it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And there is absolutely nothing that you ever experienced in all your life until you've experienced the drawing of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God drawing you to Christ and where He is. And you can rejoice and jump up and down and shout and holler, because that's the greatest day in your life. I don't care whatever's happened in your life or whatever will happen in your life. That's the greatest day that's ever happened in your life. And it says they rejoiced over those things. Now, verse number 11 said, and when they were come into the house, notice the phrase there. Where is the child now? He's not in a manger. He's not in a stable. He's in a house. And he's a young child in the house. See, it says where the young child was. Third time he's been called a young child. With Mary, his mother. And they did something when they got there. I don't know where the old Holy Spirit drew you to, an old-fashioned altar or where he dealt with you, but it put you on your knees.
Yes, sir.
If it didn't put you on your knees physically, it did spiritually humbled you before him. You realized just what kind of person that you was. I use a past tense because you're not supposed to be the same you were before. You realize what kind of person you was, and you realize the sin in your life. And then you realize the marvelous, cleaning gospel grace that forgives us for our sins and cleans us up and makes us right to be in fellowship with Him. And here it says that when they came, they fell down. Now, I want you to notice something in this, and look at the sequence that we have in this. They're drawn to the house by the Holy Spirit, and it comes and stands right over the house where he is. No question, that's him. Fellas, you found him. Now, they found Mary there, and now, look at the sequence in this. They fell down, okay? And what's the next thing they did? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. See, when the Lord God saved us and drew us to him by the Holy Spirit, he has also planted within us a desire to do what? Worship him. When we started this thing out and they come to Herod, they said, where is he who is king of the Jews? Because we've come to do what? Worship him. So it puts us in a position as a child of his, to have a desire and a want to worship him. And then they gave to him what? They gave to him treasures. Treasures. I want you to think about that word treasure for just a moment. When we think about treasures, what do we think about? We think about something that's the best or something that's good. They brought treasures of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. We are supposed to give our best to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're supposed to worship Him and give Him our best in service to Him. Because of what he's done for us. We look at the gold that's the king. We look at the frankincense, the sweet savior smell. And we look at the myrrh that's the death that he died for us on Calvary's tree. He gave us his best. So what are we supposed to do? Worship him and give him, and give to him our best. And then number 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Now, here's a clarification in this particular verse. It says, they departed into what? Their own country. Another way. They weren't Israelites. The Magi were Gentiles. We're Gentiles. And we're drawn by Christ by the Holy Spirit. The wise men represent you and us. The Gentile in this dispensation of grace. And the Holy Spirit is represented by the star that draws us to Christ. And causes us then, because we realize what He's done for us. He saved us and washed all our sins away. He draws us to worship Him. And then I hope and pray that He draws us to return to Him the best that we have for service to Him, what He's done for us. Because He's a loving and a kind and a gracious God. But now, it says they departed into their own country. We're together as brothers and sisters in Christ in church this morning. But about 1 o'clock, where will we be? Lord willing, they don't come back, but it'd be nice if we shouted out to heaven, wouldn't it? But if He don't come back and 1 o'clock gets here, we're all going to be separated and going our separate ways, aren't we? We're going to be back in the world. We're going to be back in our own country. Now, I want you to notice in this verse, he says, being warned of God in a dream that you should not return to who? Herod. When the Lord saved us, He separated us from our sins and Satan's domain over us. And we don't need to go back out in the world when we leave here today and diddle around in Satan's mess and in Satan's stuff, because he can paint some pretty pictures and set up some pretty posters, and he can lead us in a bad way in a hurry. And he says you don't need to go back that way when you get to your own country. You leave old Herod alone. Don't you have anything else to do with him? You go home without him. The wonderful thing is you go home without Satan and you go home without your sins. And you go home full of the Holy Spirit and under the marvelous grace of God. And he said when they were reported, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, said, arise and take the young child, number 4 time a young child, and his mother, flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod seeks the young child to worship him. Is that what that said? I don't believe that's what that said, does it? He said he seeks the young child to do what? To destroy him. And what length will Satan go to destroy the work of the Lord? Let's look and see where he'll go. And when he arose, he took the young child. It's 5 and 6. Times he'd been called a young child, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that's the first time it said the scriptures might be fulfilled. It's going to be said 3 times before this is ended. Spoken by the prophets. Then verse number 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth, and what did he do? He slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, not just in Bethlehem, but around Bethlehem. There's all the coasts thereof. From 2 years old and under. Now, I want you to notice the next phrase in this particular verse. Now, I said a while ago when he brought the wise men, when he inquired that they might come and meet with him, and he drilled them, so to speak, as to what time they saw that star. He made a note. And here you see it come up again. So he's going to kill every child, and he's going to give every child according to what? What time that star was seen. So that's the reason I say that it must have been somewhere under 2 years before the Magi, the wise men, came looking for Christ. Because Herod says, I got to kill all of them 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So what did he base his whole timetable on? He based his own timetable when they saw the star. And this is the group that I've got to get. And Satan don't care anything about you, and he don't care anything about your children, and he don't care anything about life. He, myself, and I, and I'll destroy anything that gets in my way to fulfill my own desires and my wants and my purposes. It's a big deal. I'll just kill all those children, and I'll get that man that's supposed to be king, and then I'll still have the kingship. But I just thought of something. Let me see if I can find something here right quick. Look at verse number 15 again. And was there until, this is when the Lord told Joseph and Mary to take that young child and head out to Egypt with him. And he says, and was there until the what? Of who? One of these days, Satan's going down, folks.
Yes, sir.
Herod died, didn't he?
Yep.
Satan's going to lose this battle, in case y'all didn't know it.
Absolutely.
It's coming. I'll be glad. I'll be glad, bro. Be glad, bro. So here we find that he's killed all the children. And then look at verse number 17 again. It says, then was fulfilled. Here again we have a fulfillment of Scripture mentioned. The second time it's been mentioned. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying in the Lamb of the voice heard lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was what?
Dead.
Behold an angel. The angel's not dead. The Lord's not dead. His purpose is not finished, is it? He says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are what? Dead, which sought the young child's life. I don't know whether y'all realize it or not. But God's in charge.
Yes, he is.
He's got a plan.
Amen.
It's going to be fulfilled. Only thing I can say to you this morning, I'm thankful that I'm a part of his plan.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, and thank you for being with us today.